B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, April 10th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we have an interview with League of Legends challenger and talent specialist Yami Kazi of the Detroit Renegades. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Continuing their coverage out at NAB's show in Las Vegas, Joe and Norris got to sit down with Robert Erickson, Director of Advanced Technology for Grass Valley.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio right now. We are live at the National Association of Broadcasters, Las Vegas Convention Center, Las Vegas, Nevada. Right now, we are here with Robert Erickson, the Director of Advanced Technology for Grass Valley. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I am stoked to be here. Thank you for this opportunity. It's great to hear the audience, great to be a part of the audience, and great to be able to talk to you for a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you. And so let the people know out there, let our listeners and viewers know what exactly Grass Valley does and how you guys fit into the esports ecosystem.
So Grass Valley is a manufacturer, and what we do is we make the gear that makes the shows happen. We make the cameras, we make the switchers, we make the routers, we make the replay. We make all the tools that allow the creative people to make that creative content.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we've been talking to a lot of people that sort of do esports infrastructure, a lot of backbone, back-end stuff, yep. Networking, people talking about 5G. And you guys are coming in sort of, as you said, talking about that equipment and how important that is. What sort of makes an esports broadcast or building out an esports broadcast a little bit different from maybe, say, a traditional sports broadcast from an equipment standpoint?
You know what? There's a couple things that make it a lot different. First off, with esports, it's new. We have younger people engaged. We have younger engineers. We have younger players engaged. So it's an opportunity to try new things, new technologies, new ways of doing things. So I got to first say the best part, the most exciting part, is just the mentality. It's just the let's try new things. And if it doesn't work perfect the first time, we're going to try it. We're going to refine it. We're going to try again. So that's the first part I really like about it. It's just the people. The second part in the gear. One thing about esports compared to normal sports is when you do normal sports, like say, let's take a football game. Guy gets a football, grabs a football, runs down the field, gets tackled, end of story. And then when you look at replay, you're just looking at different cameras. That's all you're really looking at. When you do esports, we control time because we control not just the guy running down the field, but we can take that time. We can reverse it. We can look at it from different angles. We can look at it from every single player on the field. And we can take every single player from the field and reverse that time and forward that time and really kind of get in and pick apart exactly what happened across all the different perspectives. So we control time and we control perspective, neither of which we really control in a normal sports game. So you can really dissect it. You can really get in the eyes, get in the mind of every single player who's being part of it. And that's really new and original.
And that's really interesting too, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with like the Overwatch League and stuff like that, but they have a tool that allows players in real time or viewers in real time to pick any perspective of any player that's on the field to play at that time. And that's sort of what you're talking about, that sort of ability to manipulate perspective.
And
I think that's really cool.
So unique to esports. I mean, it allows the viewer to really get into the mind, to get into the frame and the mindset of who's playing. You know, you're looking at what they're seeing. If you're looking at, if you're watching somebody on a football game or a soccer game, you just kind of see a generic mesh of what people can sort of see. But in this case, you can actually see from the eyeballs of the gamer. And that makes it so unique, and it really kind of pulls the viewer in because you can kind of stitch together the scenario, the decision making that they went through to do that. But it just takes a lot of new technology and a new way of looking at production to do that.
And so, talking about production, has it gotten to the point where you guys are getting a lot of calls about like specifically esports, like venues and content, and how is that conversation panning out, sort of from a business side? Because right now we're in this huge, you know, sort of entire corner of NAB.
Incredible.
Totally dedicated to esports. You know, what has it been like for you guys as a manufacturer seeing the growth of the space?
You know, it's been a deluge for us. It really has been. It started up about a year or two ago in terms of kind of picking up some steam and kind of picking up a lot of requests. Just, I got to say, 2018 was just a landmark year for us of people calling saying, Robert, we're building the new esports stadium. Hey, Robert, we're building 16 esports stadiums. Or, hey, we're in Korea and we've never done this before and we need to do it. So that's the thing for us. It has really picked up in terms of the needs. But the other thing that I really like about it is it's picked up and in terms of demographic and even socioeconomic. It's like if you look at the United States, we have these big billion-dollar stadiums with a lot of money behind it to hold 100,000 people, which is fine if you can afford to do that kind of thing. But one thing I like about e-gaming is if you're a small e-gaming facility in Korea or in South Africa or in Brazil, when you can hold maybe 50 or 100 people and you only have a couple thousand dollars to spend, you can now build those productions just as good in terms of quality as we can on these big productions. So it's no longer limited to these giant $100 million facilities. We can go down to the small scale and really engage people from different socioeconomic positions where we never could before.
Yeah. And I mean, how empowering is that, or how attractive is that to you guys as a company? And, you know, because a lot of times, who doesn't want to be, you know, who doesn't want to get the contract for, you know, whatever Jerry Jones is building in Arlington? But, you know, is that also, you know, an opportunity in the space for you guys as a manufacturer, sort of the smaller venues and whatnot?
Yeah. And actually, for us, it's a challenge because we've traditionally served your big stadiums, your big arenas with the big ticket items. So for us, it's a great opportunity for us to innovate, for us to create new technology to be able to go down market into places where we traditionally wouldn't push into before. But if you guys honestly, for us in the pure business sense, the volume is there. You know, it's not going to be one or two giant stadiums, which don't get me wrong, we're getting those. But the opportunity to get 500 smaller stadiums, the volume is there. Just on the pure commercial scale, it just makes sense for us. But also it's fun for us because we're engaging with the smaller stages and the smaller venues. And it's just a lot more fun to work with.
Awesome. I want to pivot a little bit. We're talking about mostly esports, but we can't really talk about esports without also talking about stuff like streaming and whatnot.
Yeah.
And is that another space that you guys have looked in terms of expansion or maybe support? Because sort of without the streaming community, the esports community is not as large as it is.
The streaming is it. That's your distribution. You know, we're starting to see e-gaming on ESPN and on Fox Sports. We're starting to see that. But what a lot of people forget about is when Blizzard does their BlizzCon, they pull more viewers streaming than any channel on cable television. Period.
Wow.
I mean, when you look at when they do their BlizzCon, they're pulling millions and millions of viewers. Most cable is lucky to get 1, 2, 3 million viewers at a time.
Right.
You know, you get some exceptional events like Game of Thrones or something. You can't
write
against that. But when the BlizzCon does their things, and when Riot Games does a lot of events, and a lot of these larger gaming people do their events, they're pulling more viewers than cable television. So the streaming platform is now more important than almost any other distribution path because anybody can get it. But also the need for localization, because you look at games, it's not just English, it's not just Korean, it's not just Chinese. When you do a production, you have to reach all of those languages because it's streamed, it goes anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So that's one of the biggest challenges also is how do I make a production in 12 languages in live and real time? So that's where a lot of the challenges are coming from. But you need the quality, you need the stability, but you need the flexibility of the multiple languages too.
Awesome. And another thing that I'm just very curious about, because again, it's very rare that we get a chance to talk about the infrastructure and the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Sort of talk about the importance of the presentation packages, of the hardware used for those presentation packages, because as you were just talking about being able to have network stability, being able to have the cameras that could do all these types of things, I mean, our viewers are always talking about how important the package is when they're viewing it. Just speak a little bit to sort of how important that is in terms of the future of esports, where it could be going.
So esports is just going to grow. We know that. We're just in the first couple years of it, and we're seeing massive scale. It's just going to grow. So one lesson that I think esports is learning is just because you can buy something cheap that gets the job done doesn't mean it's the best solution. If you have a million viewers, do you really want to put that up to the cheapest solution you can buy?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have 500,000 viewers, do you really want to put that up to the cheapest solution you can buy? When you spend the money for the right gear, the best cameras that can make the job done, the best infrastructure, the replays, the switchers, when you pay the little extra money you need for the gear, long term is really where your benefit is. You get the stability, which means you get viewers that will continue coming back to your stream because they know it's not going to go out when something important happens. When you actually spend the money to design something correctly and buy the right gear, like say if you buy the cameras from Grass Valley, these cameras are designed to interface with LED walls. Cheaper cameras, when you put them on LED walls, look awful. What do you think viewers at home don't want to see?
Right.
Weird lines going through the screen. So again, it just comes down to you can do productions with cheaper gear, but as you grow, as you get into the big bigger audience. You need the gear that's been designed for broadcast, the gear that's designed to make that quality of service that we expect.
Yeah. And so we got a question that we've been asking literally every person that we've interviewed throughout the convention is, what is the best video game of all time?
Best video game of all time. You know, for me, Half-Life. Half-Life started it. You know, when people are playing CSGO today.
It's a Half-Life mod.
That's a Half-Life mod originally. CSGO is just the next step for it. I think Half-Life for me was probably, well, it did cost me a GPA point in college. You know, I'm a little more old school too. I started with Quake. I started with Doom. The thing I liked about when you play Doom and the thing I loved about when you play Quake, you don't have these lame cutscenes every 30 or 40 seconds where you get all these flybys and stuff. It's just 20, 30, 40 minutes of terrorizing computer games with an awesome soundtrack. I mean, you got Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails doing the soundtrack for Quake. No games are doing that today. It's awesome. So for me, those games kind of set it. And so we're looking at games like CSGO today that, you know, that kind of set the standard. I do have to say I'm a bit of a PUBG addict now.
All love PUBG back.
They got to fix the bugs, though, man.
No, yeah.
They're getting better. Some of the last release a couple weeks ago definitely fixed a lot of them. But I'm kind of a little more old school. Half-Life, CS, Quake, Doom. That was it for
awesome,
me.
Awesome. Robert Erickson of Grass Valley, thank you so much for joining us here on
pleasure.
Checkpoint XP, and we love all the things that you guys are doing to help esports grow.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We'll be right back with even more from NAB.
Thanks to Robert Erickson for his time out at NAB for a full collection of interviews and coverage from the floor of NAB 2019. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Joe and Norris got to talk with Yamikaze, a League of Legends challenger-ranked player and talent specialist who streams for the Detroit Renegades. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I'm joined by Robbie Landis here in Detroit.
How's it going, guys?
I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Now we've got an interview with a professional streamer for the Detroit Renegades. He's a Challenger League of Legends player and a talent specialist. Let's check out Joe and Norris's conversation with Yamikaze.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We are out here at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Joining us now, he is a streamer for the Detroit Renegades. He plays League of Legends. He's one of the best talent players in the world, in my opinion. Yami, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How you
good
doing?
To be here.
So let's just start with you as a streamer. Tell the people what it is that you do. What is special about your channel?
Yeah, I stream League of Legends, so meaning like I play video games, and then I talk, and then people watch me, and they give me a lot of money, and then I pay my tuition.
yeah, I gotcha.
Great, yeah.
So, I mean, you're working your way through college.
Right.
That's awesome. Finding, you know, Twitch as a way of doing that. What's it been like working with the Renegades?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, they've been very supportive of everything I'm doing. Yeah, I signed with them because I think, like, our visions for what I want to do and what they want, like, me to be match very well.
All right. So, of course, we got to get into League of Legends, the current state that it's in.
Right.
You are a talent player, and not just any talent player. You're one of the best.
Sure.
Talk to me about playing talent in 2019.
It's been fun, right? Like, the champion is fun to play. I've played a lot of talent. I've been playing talent for 7 years, so I've been a bit, like, I'm not having as much fun as I used to, but champion's great. I would, like, if I had to do it again, I would play talent again, but...
Right. I mean, so, of course, Talon being one of the champions that was reworked very heavily, when we talk about old Talon versus new Talon.
Yeah.
Did you prefer old Talon, or do you like new Talon more?
I like new Talon, because I was bad. I don't know if it was me or the champion, but I was bad back then.
Well, we can safely assume it was the champion, I think.
Yeah, definitely the champion.
Absolutely.
So, I was bad back then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm bad now, so what are you going to do?
It's okay.
So, I mean, I got to ask, I'm silver, but I play with my friends who are all platinum, so I'm platinum, right?
That's how
that
works? No, you're silver.
Okay. Thanks, Norris. Thanks. All right, so looking at playing one champion, not to say that you only play one champion, but you are best known for your talent.
That's true.
What is it like, I don't want to use the term one trick, but what is it like being a player where a lot of the time you're going to be playing the same champion? How do you keep the game interesting, I should say?
Yeah, I'm a one trick. It's okay.
Okay.
I'll admit it. I'd like to think I'm not, but, you know, the stats speak for themselves.
Okay.
It's definitely easier to start climbing with. Like, I definitely would not have hit Challenger as easily if I did not one trick. But once you hit high elo and you stay there for a while, it becomes a lot better to, like, have a bigger champ pool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a singed player, so, you know, one tricks like Singed 420 are people that I follow a lot.
Right.
One of the things that you see is when people, like, you're in Challenger and they kind of can guess they're playing with you, they'll start banning out your champion more often. How important is it to have another champion in your back pocket, and who's your second?
Yeah, I get banned out a lot. I got banned out more back when Talon was stronger and back when I was, like, a really, really one trick.
Right.
Because people knew, okay, if we ban him out, he's screwed. But now I play Echo, I play, like, Kali, Zed, and... I'm just like, talent's not as good as it used to be, so people don't really ban me out, even though they know I'm on the enemy team, they know I'm streaming, odd stuff, so.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, once Force of Nature got removed from the game, no one banned Singed anymore, so I understand. So talking about the current state of pro play right now, of course, going into this weekend, we're going to have LCS finals for the spring split. We've got TSM and Team Liquid playing against each other. What do you make of the LCS right now?
The LCS is great. I love keeping up with it. I know, like, a lot of the players pretty personally, so I'm a bit more invested in the scene, I guess, than other people would be. I'm actually going to LCS finals this weekend. Yeah.
So you're making the trip out to New Orleans, right?
It's in St. Louis.
St. Louis. A new one. Yeah. So yeah, making the trip out to St. Louis. What are you going to be doing out there?
I'm actually doing part of the influencer thing with Riot. We're going to be doing some 1v1s before the actual event. Actually, a lot of my fans don't know what I look like, so they'll be there to find out.
That's awesome.
It's one of the big...
So I got to ask, speaking of fans of League of Legends, I'm somebody who's getting into it. I played it years ago. It's a vastly different game from what it is now, so it's a new experience for me, totally. And it's becoming very difficult to find actual, competent, sane, non-toxic people to play with. What would be your advice for someone who wants to get into League of Legends in its current state right now, or has that ship sailed, and if you're not already good at it, just give up and just watch LCS and call it a day?
Right. So I guess it's like looking at your goals, right? If your goal is to be a professional player, at this point it's probably sailed. You're competing with players who've already played for 8 years, 9 years. They've spent their whole lives playing the game. You're not going to be as good as them for the next, like, at least 5 years. And even then, do you really want to spend the next 5 years of your life playing League of Legends?
Right.
I wouldn't personally.
Fair enough.
But it's a video game. You're playing it to have fun. And I would recommend, if you're trying to get into the video game, just play to have fun, right? Like, make some friends. Find people who are friendly. Like, find your friends. friends in real life to play with. And if someone's being like a jerk, you can just mute them, you know, just make sure you're focusing on enjoying yourself.
Slash mute all is a very powerful tool.
Right. And if you're not enjoying yourself, then just don't play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I want to talk about one of the changes that Riot made and then kind of reversed is the whole idea of the ranked queue, of the different rankings for which position you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Theoretically, a good idea.
Yeah.
Turns out very difficult to implement. What was your thoughts on that situation?
Positional queues.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah, they didn't actually implement it for Masters Plus, so I didn't like experience too much of it.
Okay.
But I like everyone I knew, like kind of knew from the start, the issues were going to happen, and I really respect the Riot. Like they knew the issues were going to happen, and they tried to prevent it. But in the end, and the end of the day, I also respect that they realized it wasn't going to work. And despite their best efforts, they still rerolled the system. I think that's a really good way to approach these kinds of like really, really drastic changes to like a ranked queue, which a lot of people take seriously.
So we've had yet another delay to the new system to allow you to basically run or compete in tournaments and put together a team for yourself built right into the game. What kind of approach is Riot taking the right approach to getting people interested in League of Legends esports by trying to allow players to experience that competitive side of it outside of just ranked, or is maybe a bigger focus on broadcasting the LCS and making it more easy to watch? Would that be a better way to go about it?
Right, we're talking about Clash, right?
Right, Clash.
Yeah, Clash is it's a really amazing idea. It's unfortunately hasn't like been implemented as well as
it's like the most delayed concept in League of Legends.
Yeah.
We were supposed to originally get it last year, weren't we?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So yeah, Clash as a concept, very interesting. I would be very curious to see if they can implement it,
right,
if it ever
hopefully
gets implemented, what that ends up playing out like. So one more time, I do want to hit on the LCS and as that relates to Worlds. Because after we wrap up the Spring Split, we'll be going to MSI. Summer Split will be here. Worlds will be on us again before we know it. Mm-hmm. Where is North America at on the World stage? Obviously, Cloud9 made big headlines last year and gave everyone in North America a moment of hope before taking it away. But finally, we can... North American League of Legends isn't a joke anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I think the consensus is there are three like big NA teams to look out for: TL, TSM, and C9. Obviously, you never really know how they look compared to everyone else, like especially Korea and China, until they actually play in MSI or Worlds.
Right.
But I think we definitely have a much stronger lineup this year than in previous years. So, looking forward to it.
China, of course, goes all the way last year against, I guess not surprisingly, Fnatic, who played incredibly well to get to the finals.
Right.
What is it about? Is it the current meta that's helping China perform as well as they do? Or is it just on a global stage, the talent levels are evening out finally?
I've always been a bit surprised that Korea has been considered better than China. I think it's still like kind of the case, but China, I went there last year actually. They have a massive esports infrastructure. Everyone plays League.
Right.
And it's much more mainstream. It would be like basketball or football to us.
Wow.
If you go into a PC bang, it's just a sea of League of Legends. Everyone you know plays League. Like, I'll be on the bus, I'll be listening to people talking about League. Like, it's crazy because there's a very set demographic in NA for like who plays video games. In China, you'll see like 30-year-old like ladies playing video games. It's crazy.
Man, I want to go to China. This sounds awesome.
Sounds really great.
All right, Yami, tell people where they can find you.
I'm on Twitch at YamikazeXC, and I do YouTube at Yamikaze. That's about it, really.
All right. Yamikaze has been our guest here today on Checkpoint XP. Yami, thanks so much.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks again to Yamikaze for his time out at NAB 2019. For a full list of interviews that we've collected out at 2019, visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.